Okay, guten Morgen. Guten Morgen und herzlich willkommen zum Panel Inside the Writer's Room. And from now on, we will strictly speak English because our guest today is from Sweden, Camilla Ahlgren. Welcome to Zurich.
Thank you very much. I apologize, I can't speak German, only French, so. Has to speak English.
Okay, and you can throw in some French questions then. Camilla Ahlgren is the writer and script editor of Die Brücke, which is one of the, if not the most successful TV series in the world. I think it has been sold to 178 countries. But much more important than that, it's also my favorite TV show. So I'm delighted and very, very, very happy to have you here today and that you will tell us about the writing behind this TV show. But before we talk about how you do it, let's look at what you do. So we will now take a look at the trailer of season 3. I assume that most of you have not seen season 3. If you have, it must have been on an illegal channel.
We don't.
Could I ask someone to switch off the light, maybe? Okay. We all know the show, and we have already all have a connection to Saga Norén somehow. But from your perspective, what is this show about?
It's about, of course, it's a crime series. It's entertaining and it's a lot of suspense. But it's also, that's the very important thing when we make up stories. It's about our society as well. And that's very important. We have the two stories, it's a crime plot, and then we want to tell something about the story, and we have we start to find out a theme. And as you could see in this trailer, the theme is about family. We have this family in the beginning, this very odd with this smileys, and also about the gender, and we try to put the finger on what's going on, and also it was a big difference between Denmark and Sweden. And we, for example, in Sweden we have this word, if we don't say he or she, we have a new word like hen, neutral word. And so we can discuss things in our society at the same time. I think, and also of course, it's about relations and the two strong characters, the main character Saga especially. And for the third season, we had to change our main character. We come back to that. So I think it's a mix of all these things that made this strong. And also, it's you can see another side of the Nordic successful country. We are not so nice and happy as you think in Sweden.
Let's go back to the start. Who created the series and what was the initial pitch?
It came from the Swedish broadcaster that wanted to do something together with the Danish broadcaster. So they had the idea how can we make something together. It hadn't happened before, and we in Sweden we were very impressed by the English TV drama. They were better than we were actually. So just try to do something together, and then they gave this job to Hans Rosenfeld, who has been the head writer for all the seasons, and also two other guys, Måns Måhlind and Björn Stein. And they started to develop an idea with two police cops, one from Sweden and one from Denmark. And then they thought, what happened if we put this body on the border of between the two countries on the bridge. And that was successful and very good idea. Very easy pitch, and everyone understands, but nobody had done that before between two countries. So they started to develop, and they wanted also to tell something about the society, the injustice the five injustice, the murder had a plan to show the people, and then they had problems to financial find money to continue to develop. So then suddenly Måns and Björn, they couldn't work with it any longer. But they had created the character, two main characters, Martin. He had the name Michael in the beginning, but then we changed it. But then they had decided that the Danish police cop, he should be the family man, the nice guy. He's a good cop, but the work is not what he is. It's not all of his life. And then he had his third wife. He had five children with three different women, and he's more or less a fair. And then when they had to start to create the Swedish character, what is the opposite of Martin? And so they think, if Martin is socialized and happy and nice guy, then we take a Swedish character. She's very by the book, but she's talent, and she's a very, very good cop, but she has no social skills at all. What will happen with the mix between these two characters? And also they have found out that they should be friends further on in the series. We have the development, you think of what can we do with these two characters. And Martin is like a mentor for Saga, and he can learn her things. So that's what they came up with. And but then in 2007, they tried again and developed the storyline a little bit further on, Hans, with two other Danish guys. Nikolaj Scherfig, he has also been on the show for all the four seasons. And then the Danish broadcast, they didn't want to put money in it. They are not used to do co-productions. They never do that. They always do their own things. And they were a little bit skeptic this, if the Danish audience wanted to see the Swedish with subtitles, because we can understand each other not that well, that in our series, we come back to that. But so they didn't really trust the idea. But then suddenly they changed their mind, and in 2009, then I came on and we started to rewrite the storyline and to develop the character and also the motive of the murder. So it was a very long process, after all.
So that's what's interesting to me. So Hans created the theory,
yeah.
The theories, and you are the writer. And when you come in, what is your role? How much? What kind of briefing do you get before you start writing?
We work in a group. We at first we develop the storyline, and so we are five people working together. And then always the writers, we have been in the storyline group, so we know the characters and we know the story. So then we will write three versions, and then the head writer take over and write the rest. We write about five or six drafts at least.
Per season or per episode?
Per episode. Okay. Yeah, every episode in five, six drafts.
And how much is in that draft? Already dialogue?
Yeah. All the dialogue and yes, the whole script for 1 hour. We rewrite a lot. you can say. And as I have been the head writer as well the last season, but also like the script editor, I work very close to Hans, so we have been a team, you can say, sitting together and trying to do better and better and trying to listen. Because as you also can see, in the beginning it was not that many producers, but it's a lot of producers and they put money in it. And if you put money in it, you are also allowed to have your opinions and notes in the scripts. And me as a script editor, I'm the one who have the contact with all the producers, the Germans, for example, and to listen to them, what they think, and try to if they are.
What did the Germans want inside?
We have a big discussion for the first season. Now it's a spoiler, but I think if you haven't seen it, I'm going to say it, because we have a big discussion with the Germans in the ending of this first season. We killed Martin's son, and they didn't want that. They should, he should be alive, mm-hmm. And they wanted to do their own ending of that first season. But then we said, hey, we can't do that because in the second season we're going to follow up and how Martin will react. So you can't, because they think, and in Germany it has been a little bit more difficult because I think the audience think it's too dark sometimes. And yeah, it is dark, and it, that was very. But we think that's also we want to not only to have an effect, but we think we can make good stories out of this darkness and form new stories with the characters. But we haven't a plan for that when we are doing one season. We don't think what will happen the next season because we don't know if there are going to be a season two or three. So we don't have a plan for each character, a long plan. And also in our character Bibles, I just want one page about the character. For example, Saga's, the first Saga's character, it's about her. She's very lonely. That's important. We wrote that her parents are dead. She has no one, no family at all. But yes, she has a mother. And then we create during the process. Okay. We finally find out that it's important to. And we are very happy that we find out in the first season. That was during that they were shooting and we were writing, and we had a session where a young girl, she was killed. And we wanted that a reflection on Saga's personal story, and we hadn't really a personal story. So we thought, what if she has a sister, small sister, that she committed suicide when she was 13, maybe? Yeah, that's can be that Saga can relate to this young woman. So we said, how we will show that? She doesn't want to talk about it because that's not Saga. So we show her on the graveyard. We don't know why she's there, and then she just tells her colleague Martin, "Where have you been? I've been at the graveyard, my sister's." And then we also get to learn, I think, in the first season that she committed suicide. But that's the end of it. We don't tell more about her sister and why, but it's Saga's secret. And I think also it's very important that the characters keep secret. There's a mystery, and we're wondering what has happened. And we had no idea about this dead sister when we put this scene on the graveyard. We had no. But then when we started with this season two, we think, okay, she has a dead sister. What has happened actually? And then we have this idea with München by proxy, etc. And then we develop a totally new family story for Saga.
How do you keep all this in your mind? We know of Rowling, the author of Harry Potter, that she has this huge map, so she doesn't forget what has she written 20 years ago. Is there a map, or how many people know how much?
For one season, I try to do like I called a family tree with all characters and how they are connected, because the people around working, for example, with the production design and the props, etc. They want and then costume. They don't understand how they are related to each other. So I try to explain why and how they are in the series. But then when you start with second season, we always have to go back and look. I have no map for every season. No, I should have had. But what was the name of Martin's children again? So we have to look back in the scripts and because it's very important, because the audience, they know everything. So they sometimes they had pointed out that we had to do some small things wrong. Okay. Yes.
This is about writing now. And you said you write 3 to 5 drafts of every episode. So how do you feel about someone rewriting your stuff and changing your ideas? How do you work with that?
I think it's very important that you know that when you take this job, that I know that someone is coming in and take my scripts and going to rewrite. If I don't know, sometimes the different projects, then I get very upset and angry. But now this is the rules. If you don't like it, you are not going to write on this series. So I think it's, and it also, I think, a quality thing that you have the head writer, the responsibility of the characters and so on. It's difficult for different writers to to find the right tone and so on. So I think if you have to know it in the beginning when you take the job, otherwise it's not good. But so for me, you have to deal with it. And some of the writers don't like it, then they have to write for their own. But I think I like to work with people. I'm not the one sitting for my own. Yes, when you write the drafts, of course, but creating your own series, I think it's always good to be a group. And you're also, Hans and I, when you have to argue with producers, you are stronger if you are two people together working. But we're working very... now we have learned a lot during the seasons, and now the last season, Hans and I, we're only two writers because we think it's easier, it's getting faster, we don't have to explain to other writers what we think and what we want. And we also, it's very basic working with paper, and you know, in my room I had a lot of these colored, I love these, and I can't work without these because this is so you can move them, and you can throw them away, and you can also have different colors for different. You can see how you have a character plot.
Tell us about the color code of.
Color code. yeah, you have the crime, of course, the ape. We have at least that's also something different from other crimes series that we have so many. It's a multi-plot, and it's demanding for the audience, sometimes a little bit. The season two was, even for us, a little bit too complicated, I must say. So I think the third season is the best season so far. But, for example, then we have the A-plot with the blue. That's the main and the police work, you can say. And then you have the B story with a completely different, you don't know how... and why we follow these people, but it's in the theme, and maybe that's the yellow one, and then they have the C story, and maybe the C story is only five scenes in the first episode, and then suddenly the C story is coming up with the B or the A. Every story should be in the crime plot, have something to do with the crime plot, but sometimes we don't manage to do that in the best way, you know. We learn by doing. And
we know that many TV shows work according to certain formulas. Mm. What is the formula of Bron?
The formula is regarding to the writer and the writing and the story. I think that we have a formula. It should be multi-plot, a lot of different. You follow different characters, and it should come up to the crime plot. And we have not rules in that way. We had so different. We haven't really a formula. I know then they have the formula while creating the production design, for example. It should be you're not allowed to use many colors, and it has also be concrete and glass and gray, and no older nice buildings. This new buildings, it should be modern. So they're working very strong in the beginning when they started. The director Charlotte Seeling, she was very good at that, at the making this word together. And at first we had this Malmö-Copenhagen difference, but then we realized, no, Malmö-Copenhagen is one city together. We know it's no difference between them in our series. So it's an own universe, you can say. So that's one formula. And then when we created stories, that was multi-plot thing, and also that it's a little bit one formula. It's as larger than life. It's not that realistic, even if we tell something about our society. Always our murder is it's a little bit too clever, and also. What did I say about the murder? Yeah, it's also one formula is that it's who done it. That's we want the audience to think, oh, maybe he's the murderer, or no, it was not. And we like to the audience will try to find out who it is.
I always think about that because I love to watch TV series, but now I'm an experienced watcher. So yeah, you always create a person in the first two episodes, and I'm triggered, but I know it's not her, it can't be her. then episode 7, 8, 9, someone comes up and you think, this could be him now. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, we try always to find new solutions. I can't now for the fourth season, you will see something completely different. but you can always, like you see American TV crime series or English crime series, you know that the murderer, you never show him in the end of the last episode. That's bad storytelling. You are not allowed to do that. That's a formula. Okay. But you know that you always have to reveal the person in the end 9, 10, or 9, 8, 9, and maybe you can make another twist on it to surprise your audience. I think we are really good at that, actually, I can say. Okay. Trying to, but that's true, you're always looking at, me too, when I watch other series, you know that the murder is in the beginning somewhere, maybe, but you can never be sure. Mm-hmm. And you can never be sure that we are going to kill someone, as we killed Martin's son. Right. And we want the audience to be this insecure and want to, what are they going to do next? Mm-hmm. And we are not afraid from the dark as well.
Okay. One of the most striking moments of TV series is, of course, the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit how you develop that and how much is your focus on?
It's very important, I will say. We want the audience to come back next week. Now we can't watch the bridge. It's once a week, and of course we work a lot with the strong cliffhangers. We think in that way. As this is the public service broadcaster, we don't have to think of commercial breaks, and that's very, as a writer, I like that very much, that we can be free. Otherwise, you have to have cliffhangers two or three times in an episode. But even if we don't have commercial breaks, when we are writing the episode, we have three acts. We have three acts just for our the rhythm of the episode, and if it has to be thrilling, and also at the same time we can tell something about the characters and deepen their relations between them and so on. But then we have often a strong cliffhanger. Yeah, it's important, very important.
You just said that you think of week to week, but most people are today watching TV shows on DVD or streaming it, so we don't have this weekly thinking.
No.
As a writer, you still think that the people will watch it next week, next episode?
Yes, with the bridge, yes, we do. Because they are going to watch it the first, now it's going to be screened in January, and they can only see one episode at a time, actually. In the Nordic countries. So I think, and also I think I like the way, because it has also been a very, they talk a lot about it, the audience, they meet at work and they try to, they discuss the characters and saga, of course. So I think that's a good, then I know that then you have the DVD and so on. But then when I work now for Netflix, for example, then I know that this is going to be, you can watch it, the whole series at a time.
Yeah.
Or nowadays I think they give you two episodes a week sometimes.
Another very peculiar thing about Brun is that it's Danish and Swedish. And for foreigners it's important to say that Danish think they understand Swedish and Swedish think they understand Danish, but they actually don't.
No.
But in the show everyone understands everything.
Yes, we had a discussion in the beginning and we made a lot of research with differences between Denmark and Sweden, culture and all over, signs, etc. But then we decided we should make one city of the two capitals or the two cities. But we also had the idea that as I come from the south of Sweden, I used to watch Danish TV, so I can understand Danish language. But for example, the director from Stockholm, he didn't understand a thing. He had to speak English to the actors. But we decided it's too complicated. We had, we have similar words, but they have different meanings. So you can have misunderstandings and so on, and that's funny. And because that's also important with the bridge, that we have some humor in it. But then we understand it's too complicated if we're going to do that in every. If we start with that they don't understand each other, then we have to follow it up for 10 episodes. So it will be boring and irritating. So we just decided, okay, they understand each other. And in Denmark, while they're screening, we have Swedish subtitles, and in Sweden we have Danish subtitles. But it's very difficult to understand Danish language, actually. But it was. But then you, if we now this is our word, and we have decided this is in this way, and then the audience can accept it. This is the rules for our series.
What was the writing like? So you did not write the Danish, obviously, the Danish dialogue. You only wrote the Swedish?
No, we wrote in our own language. So I'm writing everything in Swedish. And the first season, we had to translate more drafts, like the third draft and so on. But then now, last season, they had to, the Danish producers and so on, they had to read in Swedish. So, and then we have
a translator who
translates the dialogue into Danish language when we have the final draft. And then you have the Danish actors, they don't really can read Swedish, so they want to have it in the whole script in Danish. So we have one script in Swedish and one script in Danish. We're talking about the final draft. And then you have the script when you have both dialogue, the Danish dialogue in Danish and the Swedish dialogue in Swedish. So it takes some time, and you have to organize these translations because it's a little bit complicated.
How long does it take to write one episode?
One episode, we have... I think that's important when you write. That's one of the things why it's a success. It's that you have time to develop the stories as the writer. We have time to write the scripts, and we have time to have 5, 6, 7 different drafts. So for the first draft, of course, you have longer time. We will have 4 weeks. And then for the second, third, maybe 2 weeks. And then for the fourth, five, and sixth, 1 week. So less time, and for hopefully we have less to change. But we also work with the actors, the main characters, the main like Saga and Martin, and then Henrik. We don't let them read the scripts too early, because we are changing so much and we are not ready yet. But so they have the fourth draft we give to the actors, the main characters, so they can read. And then we have meetings with them, even with the storyline, to tell them this is what we think you are going to happen to you. And then they have also input and give us new ideas, which is very important. Even when they are shooting, they can call us and say, hey, we don't understand this line, or we want to change it. And we said, okay, fine, we will discuss it if we think it will be better. And also it's psychological that the actors can mm-hmm. come into, and but we are the ones who make the changes. So it's an ongoing process, and I think it's also important to let them in the process because we make it together. I think I heard Richard Price, who has written one of my favorite TV series, The Night Of, I don't know if you have seen it, on HBO, and he started his masterclass with saying, hey, I'm just a writer. And the product, and it's all about all the people working together, like the production design, the director, the actors, everyone. So I think it's the result is due to everyone in the team. I think that's very important. Of course, it starts with our story. Without our story, they can't do anything. But it's a teamwork, and when it works. Well, now we have been working for 4 seasons almost with same people, and then you get to know each other, and also you work good together. I think that's also very important for me, to work with people I like. I have worked with people that it's very difficult to cooperate, and then I don't do that any longer because it takes so much energy, and it's not worth it.
How much do the actors know? We know from Twin Peaks that they didn't know what would happen in the next episode. Do they know? Did Martin know that his son would be killed in the end?
Yeah, they know almost everything. We normally don't say who the murderer is to everyone. The actor who is going to.
So Saga Norén doesn't know who she's hunting?
Not always, no. No, I don't think so. We keep it a little bit, because when they read the storyline and then read the scripts, they're just interested in their own scenes and what's the relations and their private movements. But we always know who is the murderer. We don't change that during the way, never. But sometimes we can. That has happened every season, I think. Because when you have your storyline, and when you start to write the scripts, you change a lot, and you take something from episode 3 and you put it in episode 2 because it suits better, and so on. And suddenly, when we had episode 8, we're sitting there. We have nothing left to tell them, and we can't reveal the murder. So what to do? Then we have to create a new story in some way in one episode, to have a red herring, we say. In season 1, it's very clear. We have this red, he has red hair, he's in the beginning, the first scene on the bridge. He was just a small character, but then we have an idea, we have to use him. We have seen him before, we can think that he's the one who's guilty, so we made a story for him in episode 8. So that's how it works in the process. It has happened all the seasons. When we come to episode 8, oh no, shit, we have nothing left. but in a way, then we have to create new things. Mm-hmm. And then you have a short time, and you know you have to do it. And suddenly we have a good story. And all our producers think always episode 8 is so great. Because 9 and 10 is always we ended up, we have to have the ending in 10. So episode 8 is difficult.
Let's talk a little bit about Saga Norén. But before that, though, because of that, let's watch an episode from season 3. Maybe you can give a short introduction where we are and what are we seeing.
Yeah. Maybe we can put on the curtains, because I think it was very difficult. Okay. It was too light.
One, switch off the lights.
Yeah. Yes, this is it's one of the last scenes in episode 1, season 3. Saga, in season 3, as we had to change a lot because one of the main characters, Martin, he didn't want to be in the show any longer because he didn't like our story. And then we told him, okay, fine, we're not going to change our story. So he left the show. And that was when we had made all the stories up. So we had 3 months to come up with a new character. But then we also thought that Saga, she can have more stories in the 3rd season. Her past coming back to her. And then we discussed what we have told about her mother and father. And we decided that her mother will come back. And this is the first time we see her mother in the story, in the show, and we haven't told the audience that she will come back. And also Saga comes from, she's very upset because she has been in, it's been an explosion, and her colleague has missed her one leg, very dramatically for her, and Saga also feel guilty about it because she didn't like her colleague very well, and she had ordered her to be in place. So Saga is now driving home, and she's a little bit shaky, and you know Saga, she always wants to have control, but now she is going to lose control, and then her mother is turning up.
Hej, Saga. Men usch, vad har hänt? Du är alldeles blodig.
Stanna, Saga. Jag vet att du inte vill träffa mig. Saga, pappa är döende. Vänta, Saga. Men han vill verkligen träffa dig. Kan du stanna? Saga, vi måste få ett avslut på det här. Brottet är ju preskriberat. Ditt brott, menar jag. Så du riskerar ingenting. Saga, pappa är döende. Jennifer är borta. Det är bara du och jag nu, Saga.
This is a very, I think, special. We call it Brewish. we like to every scene, like it has to be not normal. How can we twist it so it can be more like Brewish? And I think this is we don't know the mother. She's a new character. We haven't seen her before. We can understand that it's her mother because she's talking about the dad is dying, but we don't tell them anything more than that. And also that we understand that Saga has committed a crime. What is this? We don't know that. This is the first time we heard about this. And it is true or not. And we can see that Saga is very touched by or upset meeting her mother. And we have also in the script, we have a long discussion how she would react in her apartment. The first thing we had, she took her gun and put it into pieces. But then Sofia didn't like that, and it also
the actress.
Yeah, the actress. Yeah, and it also you can't do that with the guns like that. So okay, what is she going? How will she react when she comes into the house? And then we had she sitting down, crying. No, Saga wouldn't do that. And suddenly, I think it was her idea that she will. She has to have control and everything in the right place. So, I think it's so it's small movements. It's better than large reactions, and I think that's really good. And you also can see the whole the bridge, the gray, the concrete, her apartment. It's a part of the look of the series as well. And also you have Saga's, the car is very important. That was also something, it was not in the script, that she was driving a Porsche, not in the character description as well. It was the director, Charlotte Seeling, she wanted a Porsche. And we thought, oh no, she's not the one driving a Porsche. But yes, she said, I want a Porsche for Saga. I said, okay, fine. And now the Porsche is very important. And I know in England, for example, BBC, they start when they make a trailer, they start with a car, because that's the Saga thing. Also how she is all small detail together makes this series so special, I think. Also the way she's her clothes, Saga's clothes, is also very important. We hadn't written that in the scripts either. Sometimes you do if it's you have an idea why. But otherwise, it was... also the director and the customer that together that she had leather pants and so on, and that was also brilliant because it's not normal, and everything you can twist a little bit like Brewish, we say that's how we try to make every scene, but sometimes it's difficult, you know, when you have police station scenes, it's like ordinary crime scenes, you have seen them a million of times, but we try to think of these small details that make it a little bit odd.
I like the scene with the mother very much because this is how I see my mother. She's sitting in the hallway waiting to jump at me.
And that's interesting. Let's talk about your childhood.
No, I want to talk about your childhood. What's your mother? Were you thinking of your mother at all writing that?
Or no, not at all. No. Yes, when you find your inspiration, of course, I have a big family, sisters and brothers, and you have friends, and you also get inspired by other TV series. But also, I'm old school. I have my newspaper every morning, and I find a lot of interesting things, and I cut them out, and I have at least how many, when I want to, what can we use in if we're going to make a new crime story, I look in my newspaper clip and I always find something interesting. For example, the way we presented Henrik, the new character, it was because I had read about an single club in Denmark that they met on museums or restaurants, and everyone had a plastic mark, I'm a single or something. So you could easily see who you could maybe talk to. I think that was a very interesting way of meeting people. And suddenly we used it when we wanted to present the new character in a different way. Because when we had to change Martin, we had to change the main character, it was a huge discussion. We were not sure we're going to.
So we're talking about the Danish investigator.
Yeah.
Martin, which we know from the first two series, he's out. And in season three, there's a new Danish guy. Mm.
And it was also a big discussion because Saga and Martin in season one and two, the audience loved them. And they had their scenes in the car, in the elevator, and it was so typical for the bridge. So we discussed, can we do another season without Martin? And we decided, yes, we will try, and we will come up with a new character. And then we have to make a completely different character from Martin. And not the mentor learning Saga things, but he also has to have mystery, and we want to get to know more about him. And also, of course, he has a dark past. And then we didn't want him to be presented like, here comes the new cop in the police station, but we like the audience to get to know him in his private life before. So therefore and the audience didn't know that he was the new colleague of Saga either.
We have to quickly explain this. So your inspiration is a small newspaper that is given out in
Ystad.
It's a newspaper from Ystad, which we all know it's the place where Kurt Wallander lives. It's a small town, you live close by, and it's a very, very small newspaper. And that's all you read?
No, of course not. We have internet even where I live. I got inspiration from many sources, but newspapers is one. I think it's a very good one. You forgot, like your journalists, it's very important for me to have your stories so I can bring them further on. And also you listen to people, and you have to use your imagination, your fantasy, and have to be a little bit weird, sick in your brain, maybe.
Do you know a Saga Norén? Do you know someone who is like Saga Norén?
No, not that in that way. And she's very special.
There has been, of course, a huge discussion also in Sweden about the question, does she have Asperger's syndrome? And many who have this syndrome says, we're not like that, we're not that cold. Mm. So what's your answer to that?
We didn't want, we never made a diagnosis on her. We have, of course, played with that Asperger, but we never say it in our series. And that was very important as we make up things about her. Then the Asperger associations, they have been very happy that we can show a character like this. Because they think she has this syndrome. But it was important for us not to make a diagnose. And she's, and we have developed her from season to season. And I think in the beginning it was a challenge for the audience, because in Sweden it was difficult because they thought Sofia Elin, the actress, that she was bad acting. And a bad director couldn't make her better. She's very strange dialogue and so on. So some of them quit because they think she was too bad. It was not believable. And then, but after a while, they understood that people were talking about the bridge, so they started to see it again. But we never, if you compare with the remakes, they have made three remakes, one with the US-Mexico border and one with French England, and also now Russia and Latvia, I think. But in the American, and I think also in the tunnel, in the first episode, in this first season, they told the audience that this is a very special character, she has to take some pills. They have a diagnosis on her. They explained to the audience. And I think I don't like that. I like the audience to, they have to find out by themselves.
Now, let's talk a little bit about writing. I have difficulties enjoying reading texts because I always think, how did he do it? Why am I not that good? where did he get the idea? How is it for you to watch TV shows, like the big ones? Can you enjoy them?
Yes, I can enjoy them. I can be very impressed, and I think, oh, I would have loved to write this kind of series, like The Night Of. And I also think that I'm not good enough, and we are, during the way, we are struggling and say, oh no, this is not good, what are we doing? And you're not very self,
confident?
No, self-confident. I think it's a part of the work. But then when you work together with someone and you think, yes, this is good enough. But of course, it's always a process. And when I watch other TV series, I always look how they have structured it and how they trying to tell me things. And I think, yeah, this is good. Maybe I can learn. And so I'm working.
Do you take notes while watching it? Hmm? Do you take notes while watching?
I actually did now because I had to. I mean, another project, it's a very difficult one. And then I saw The Handmaid's Tale. And there I learned, I tried to figure out how they use the voiceover and the main character. And I tried to really study how they did.
Can you name three TV series that you would have loved to write yourself?
Yeah, The Sopranos, The Wire. And the Night Of, maybe, yeah. Okay. Three of them that inspires me a lot. Then sometimes you see series, this is not that good. And I said, aye, that's good.
Okay, name two that are not that good.
Oh, no, I can't do that.
Oh, come on.
No, I have that in mind. Actually, right now. Maybe it's my colleague's Swedish.
And do you binge watch or do you watch once a night? How do you do that?
No, I don't binge watch. I get too tired, and I really have hard time to. It's so many TV series right now, and everyone. Oh, have you seen that one and that one? And sometimes I try to see one episode a day if I'm going to study a series, for example. But no, not binge watching, it's not for me. I don't like that. I like once a week. Okay. Old school, I mean, that way.
And how do you feel about, because I think that TV shows, that's where the new writing is happening.
Yeah.
And you have already, so you are at the front of the writing. What do you think of movies? Is it over or do you like it? Would you like to write movies or?
In Sweden, we have a big discussion about writing for movies, and it's all they are often director writing for themselves their own scripts, and also the big family movies. You know, you go have a big audience, but then it's very difficult for me to have an original story. It takes so long time, there's less money in it, and it's very difficult to finance a movie in Sweden. So for me, I have no interest to do, because I know they don't want, I have tried several times, but maybe it was not good enough, but I think now when I can write for TV, it's much easier. But I really want to do it one day. I said, I want to make one movie. before I die.
One of the important things in TV shows, and the thing I love about them, is dialogue. And I know that writing dialogue is one of the most difficult things to do. Do you have some practical tips on how to write dialogue?
Yes, this is obvious, that you start as late as possible in the scene. And also, I think it's very important...
What do you mean, start as late as possible?
If you're writing a dialogue, you can always cut off the three or four first dialogue, I think. And I always read it loud for myself. Then I can say, oh no, this is not how this is difficult to pronounce, for example, and this is maybe not the character. And it is very difficult, especially in crime, when we have this the investigation scenes. It's necessary in this kind of drama. But, you know, we always say that if you have Saga and Henrik and they have dialogue, and if you switch the names, so Henrik takes the dialogue of Saga, it should be impossible because they are two different characters. But sometimes you can easily change character name and you can save the dialogue. But I think it's important how will she react and what is her language. With Saga, it's more because we know she wouldn't ask these questions and she doesn't tell anything about herself, etc. So you know her way of, and she says what she thinks. She hasn't this social skill as well. That's also become humor in a way. But we realized in season two that we don't want to make scenes, write scenes or dialogue just for fun. It didn't work out very well with her new boyfriend when she tried to be a partner living together. That's not quite good writing. I think it was a failure from our side. We tried, but then we realized it's not funny when she tried to be funny. Mm-hmm. She's funny when she is not mean to be, but the situation is funny, if you understand.
I like the way that Saga always says the truth, and I have this little game with my wife that I always ask her, what would Saga say? Because it's really challenging, because if she's getting asked, you get the straight answer,
yeah, yes.
Which is so not typical of Sweden.
No, not at all.
It's not allowed.
No, we're not allowed to ask if we want sex or not. Right. She's very outspoken. And that's very that's why you love the character, I think. And also now in the third season, you feel sorry for her. And we don't know how she's going to react, because it's going to be very hard for her this season.
We're getting to the end. Mm-hmm. We would like to now show the trailer for the fourth season.
Yes.
And afterwards, we can take some questions from you. So while watching the trailer, you can think what you would like to know of Camilla.
And it's the very last season, yes, as well.
Yeah, you should...
Har du Saga något?
Hon vet, så ser man.
Är det riktigt bestämt? Hur långt det kom? Har jag någon misstänkt? Du fortäll mig.
En far där leder efter sin barn.
Hvordan går det med Saga?
And I don't answer any questions about this season. Also, I forgot, when I write a dialogue, of course you're thinking of how to proceed the scene further on. You have to have a good end of the dialogue and end of the scene. Like you have this the structure all in three acts, even in a small scene. If you have it in the whole script, you have it in the scenes, you're thinking that way. But then when you start to write dialogue, I just write what's coming up in my head. Mm-hmm. And then I can, by myself, take away the things. And I also have my husband, he's a writer, so he always read it before I leave it to the producer. So he
Show it to your husband first?
Yeah, so he can say, hey, this line was not very good. No, you're right. Take it away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you need to write it several times.
Let me just ask you this question. So you and your husband are both working in the same creative industry.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips on how to run a relationship?
It's kind of we're always discussing by eating dinner, work and so on. No, it's we don't work with every project together. But now actually we're writing another series together, and it's no problem for us to work together.
It's a very Swedish answer, if I may say that.
Sorry, but he's Norwegian then.
So now it's time for you to ask any questions you would like.
When we start in the storyline room, when we have a blank wallet, what are we going to do this season and so on, we have a rule that it's you can come up with anything and we have no stupid ideas. So it's like we say high roof in Swedish. But it's very important, otherwise you don't dare to say some of your ideas. It could be so stupid ideas sometimes and say, haha, this was no good, but maybe we have something in it we can use. So I think that's a very good rule, not to be too critical in the beginning. Perhaps because I've been in working with people that you don't dare to say what you're thinking for, maybe it's not a good idea. Don't have this, just come up with ideas, whatever it is. And sometimes you have a good idea, sometimes not, but it doesn't matter. I think that's great in the beginning. And then when we start working with the process, we always try to find stories you haven't seen. You have seen the stories before, but how can we make them in another way? It's also interesting, not a rule, but I think that's very important sometimes when you have created a story or with a character. What happens if this character is a woman instead? How do we react, for example? And maybe we can say, oh, that's better, and it getting another view, a point of view of things. So always try to, what happened? Then you can go back. No, it's a man, because it's better, because blah, blah, blah. I think also that's interesting to try. And then we have also, but we have discussed it a lot in the Nordic countries, in Sweden, with diversity. We have to show our society, different people, and we're trying to do that. But we have to learn, we have to make an effort. And we also, the fourth season, we have characters with foreign names. We said we call him Mojo, because then the casting director must find a man from Nordic look. And sometimes, because they say, no, we don't find any, so we take this Swedish actor and say, no, he's from Africa, so please find someone. You have to make an effort. So it's very important, because it's a real problem. I don't know in Switzerland if you have the same, but I think it's very important that we live in this diversity in our society, and we have to make, it's not about another story, but just different faces. I think they're brilliant in England, for example, making this, because they have also more actors from many other countries. And what else? I think not too many rules. Of course, if you have this crime, if we're working, I mostly work with crime, and that you are thinking of how to create the stories. So the whodunit thing and how we build the stories. We are like woven together all the plot stories, but to begin with, I think it's very important to have this opportunity to come up with any idea you want. And of course, we are also looking, I think, in the beginning it's easier when you have the theme, if you know what you want to write about or tell the audience. For example, now this fourth season, I can tell you the theme is identity, because we have this now a border between Denmark and Sweden. It's very odd to us. I have to show my passport if I go from Denmark to Sweden. I had never done that before. So we think this is in our society nowadays with all these immigrants.
Can we take one more question?
Yeah, it works. For the first draft, we only keep it in our small writers group, and sometimes a director as well. But then they know they're just going to see, to give us notes on the structure, the dialogue. It's not ready yet. We haven't finished the dialogue yet. And so in the third draft, then we meet the broadcasters as well. And then we can make bigger changes. Like we don't like this story. This is maybe they have read the storyline, of course. But sometimes we can feel that this is not. We don't like this story, and we have to change it. Maybe we put it out and have to create something new. Yeah, that will happen. That can happen in the third draft. Then after the third draft, hopefully we can more go into the dialogue and change dialogue things for the fourth and fifth drafts. But the third draft, it's a little bit, you can make bigger changes.
We have time for one last question.
No, tension can be in so many ways. I think that you... Of course, you can the strong cliffhangers, but you also have exciting characters that you want to know more about. As I give you a small clue, I don't give you too much information, so you have to wait for the information. And I also think tension is when you, as a viewer, I like the way when I watch TV series, but I don't really understand the scene when I see it. But then later on, maybe in the same episode 10 minutes later, I had the answer, what I just saw. So I had to think back, aha, that was why he was so weird in that scene. Now I understand him. Then I think you, as an audience, you have to think, and I think it's creates tension. So less information. I think sometimes we have tons of information, too much information. So let the audience... Maybe they don't understand, but it doesn't matter. It hasn't to be too weird, but I think I like the way when you have to think. And I also, that attention, that you surprise the audience by doing something completely unexpected. That's also important. I remember when I, in the 80s, when I saw an Italian crime about the Gomorrah, and in the end of the first season, they killed the main character. And I said, I was so shocked. It was in the 80s. You don't do that. You can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. But they did. Yes, you can. So you can always, then I learned, you can do anything, even if you have an agreement with the audience. But just do something, just break that agreement sometimes. I don't know if that, but, and of course, when you have the murderer, you have different suspects. That's all. That's the plot, whodunit thing. And then to also have the private relations for the main characters is very important.
I think breaking the agreement with the reader is something we all can very well relate to and are afraid of doing. Unfortunately, we have to stop now.
Thank you. You will
be around for a couple of more hours if someone would like to talk to you in private. Thank you so much, Camilla, for coming to Zurich.
Thank you for your attention.